I'll sing it.
Thanks for listening to the NPR Politics Podcast. During the thick of the holidays, when you're ready for a break or some alone time, there's a bunch more NPR podcasts you should check out. Comedy and pop culture, creative storytelling, and insights into economics and the hidden forces that shape us. Find all our NPR podcasts at npr.org/podcasts and on the NPR One app. And enjoy the holidays.
Hey, y'all. It's the NPR Politics Podcast. We are coming to you today with an outtake from last week's NPR interview with President Barack Obama. This is a 5-minute clip that we're going to use to touch off a chat about Obama and his final year in office. First, some introductions. I'm Sam Sanders, campaign reporter.
I'm Tamara Keith, White House correspondent.
I'm Domenico Montanaro, political editor.
So before we get to the clip, it requires some setup. Tam?
Yes. So President Obama, for most of his presidency, was interviewed by people, and that continues. But in the last year or so, he's actually started interviewing other people, asking some questions, including this interview he did with David Attenborough, who is a naturalist who narrates nature documentaries.
Tell me how the Great Barrier Reef looked to you today compared to the first time that you went there, and what story does that tell us about how we're doing in conserving these incredible treasures?
Well, of course, the whole population of Australia has increased very great deal. So,
and he also did this interview as part of the StoryCorps project. This is with a kid who was in White House mentorship program.
Huh. I was on the run.
You were on the run. How so?
From the law.
Yeah. What had you done?
I believe it was.
What do you mean you believe? You know what it was.
It was violation of house arrest.
So you had gotten in repeated trouble. And what happened?
I went to a Christian retreat.
Did you say to yourself, man, I need to find something different?
Oh, my favorite part is coming right
Christian
now.
Retreat.
Oh, no, sir. I didn't want to go at all. My mom forced me.
Oh, okay. So mama intervened. Said, Lord.
Yeah. And he did an interview with novelist Marilyn Robinson. He's a big fan of her books.
But you knew you wanted to read, right?
That's what I wanted to do.
You were a person of letters.
That was me.
That was you. Were your parents into books, or did they just...
Can I just say, President Obama sounds like a man who wishes that he was Terry Gross.
But is not Terry Gross. So that's the backstory. Obama's been sitting down and doing these interviews. Some of them, like the Attenborough video, wound up being released by the White House. The one with Marilyn Robinson was released as a podcast by the New York Review of Books. But it is worth saying that presidents do this sort of kind of thing behind closed doors a lot, talk to folks that they're interested in.
I mean, they can have anybody they want over to their house to have a conversation.
That's why I'm saying, like, why didn't Obama, like, interview Beyonce?
Well,
because that's who you want to talk to, Sam?
He likes her, too. He's admitted this.
Well, no,
he wants her to raise money for him.
And, yeah.
That's
yeah.
What he, yeah. And also, he's hung out with Beyonce and Jay-Z plenty.
In the Situation Room. Remember that photo?
He can hang out with them and not put them in a podcast.
Okay. Yes.
But the fact is, like, you know, this is a president who likes to be an analyst. He sees himself as very cerebral, and he is very reflective. And the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, has a huge bully pulpit.
Yeah.
And he can highlight any issue he wants and have access to any person he wants, and that's part of what the strategy here is behind the scenes. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the exchange with Morning Edition host Steve Inskeep and the president. It was recorded recently at the White House. And in answering Steve's question about all those interviews, the president actually gets pretty reflective about the end of the year. So let's listen. We will talk about it on the other side.
You've done something that I can't recall other presidents doing over the course of this year. Several times, publicly, you've questioned people, interviewed people. You put questions to a teenager on StoryCorps on NPR. Yeah. You questioned a novelist. You interviewed a naturalist.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
You know, one of the best things about this job is that you can talk to anybody. You know, it turns out you pick up the phone. If somebody's doing something interesting, something that inspires you, you can usually get them to take your phone call. And you know, sometimes I do it to learn myself. What is it that you know, makes them tick, and what can they teach me about the world? Sometimes I just want to shine a light on somebody who I think is extraordinary. You know, when I talked to that young teenager, that high school kid,
18-year-old African-American.
Here's a guy who was on the streets and going down the wrong path and most likely would have ended up in jail if you looked at the odds. And he was able, through faith and some timely intervention, to completely turn his life around and was on his way to college. And, at a time where popular culture often portrays young African-American men coming from low-income neighborhoods as a danger, I wanted people to hear what an extraordinary kid this was and how much he was like a lot of teenage boys who just may be growing up in more forgiving environments. The novelist Marilyn Robinson, she's become a friend of mine. I just love her books. And I think she says something about the essential decency and goodness of the American people. The folks she writes about are, from the Midwest and small towns and are rooted in, flags and apple pie and Americana. And yet they've got these really complicated lives. And what she says about our democracy and what's best in us, I thought was important for people to hear. So, part of what I hope people take from this year and the remainder of my presidency is that we've got big challenges. We've got divisions. We've got frustrations. There are real challenges and dangers like ISIL. There are big problems around how we make sure that the economy is working for everybody and for middle-class families. How do we educate our kids for the 21st century when the kinds of skills that are going to be demanded are going to be so much more sophisticated and different from what a previous generation needed? So, those are all real challenges, real issues. But I hope people remember that this country is just brimming with incredible possibility and opportunity, and that actually we're surprisingly strong considering what we went through in 2007, 2008 with the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. You got an unemployment rate that has dropped down to 5%. You've got essentially 5 years of growth that's been uninterrupted. People have recovered the value of their homes and their 401ks. You've got fewer kids dropping out of high school than ever before, more kids going to college than ever before. We continue to produce incredible businesses that are transforming the planet. Internationally, just this year, we've been able to help shape trade rules that are good for American workers, American businesses in the entire Asia-Pacific region. We've been able to forge a climate pact that can preserve the planet for future generations, normalized Cuba, made sure that Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons without having to fire a shot, and are every day making incredible contributions to reduce poverty and violence and abuse against women and gays and lesbians around the world. There is just good stuff happening, and that doesn't make us complacent about all the challenges that remain. But it's a useful reminder as we wrap up this year. I remember standing outside or looking at people standing outside the White House the day that the ruling about same-sex marriage came down, and families and friends and partners, people who had once felt that their lives had to be cramped and undercover, and now they're hearing people say that, they're full American citizens like everybody else. That's a good thing. That's America. And I think it's important for us to make sure that we are fully mindful of the incredible blessings that we've received as we go into the holidays.
All right. Again, that was President Obama with Steve Inskeep, taped at the White House the week before Christmas. I felt a lot of like 08 and even 04 Obama in there. This kind of like, it's we and it's us, and together as Americans, we will accomplish all these things. Like a lot of we, a lot of us. And I think that like hearing it now at this point in his term, it does not seem nearly as lofty as it did before.
Yeah, you know? Except all the things that he listed there are lefty priorities.
Yeah, you know? It's like he says that we accomplished these things together, but half of the country didn't like those accomplishments,
right? And some of those accomplishments are not really a done deal.
Yeah.
Because the Iran nuclear deal, although it is a deal, there's no telling whether it's going to be successful. And that whether that is a successful point in his legacy or not will take years to truly know. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, the trade deal with Asia that he mentions, Congress still has to sign off on it. That's a priority of his for the year ahead. But there's no guarantee. And all of the Democratic candidates that hope to replace him say they don't support it.
And frankly, that part of the conversation with him was really public relations. He wasn't asked to list off, you know, his priorities for the year. He wasn't asked to talk about what a great job he's done.
I mean, yeah, it was a total non sequitur.
He just went into it anyway. Yeah. I mean, there was something else in this interview that Steve Inskeep asked President Obama what question he would have for a future president, as if he were submitting a question on Facebook for one of the debates or something.
Which maybe you could. One of these debates you could write in on Facebook that asked your question. What would you ask?
So he ruminated on that for about a minute and a half.
You know, that's a great question, Steve, and I might have to give it some thought. But
and he finally did come up with this question, you know, where he asked, why do you want this job, essentially? And kind of went into this idea of the fact that the fame, the title, that stuff wears off
so I might just
quickly.
Ask somebody, why do you want to do this? And I suppose they'd give a cliche answer because that's what candidates do. But I will tell you, as president, if you're interested just because you like the title or you like the trappings or you like the power or the fame or the celebrity, that side of it wears off pretty quick. At least it has for me.
Which I found to be a really interesting kind of self-reflective moment where he's trying to accomplish all of these things in the first part of what he talked about there, but the luster of the office and the complexity of Washington makes it very, very difficult with a year to go for
him. I think it's also the luster of some of the rhetoric wore off.
Yeah.
I think at the peak of Obama in the 08 election, there was this belief, maybe even from him himself, especially his supporters, that he could transcend the current constraints of the modern presidency.
And
he could get over the divisiveness.
I think that's
the biggest
lesson of the Obama presidency, is that there's a big, big, big difference between campaigning and governing. And when this president decided that he was going to change the ways of Washington, well, that is not, that is the legacy here. Numbers matter. You know, raw politics and numbers and relationships matter. This president had it in his first 2 years. He lost it after that. And, you know, that is the biggest definer as to whether or not something gets done.
I mean, you know, looking back on that list that he listed earlier of things that he's accomplished, you know, even as he goes into his last year with fair to middling ratings of his performance, can he say that he got a lot done?
Absolutely. If you go over the broad list of things that happened during his presidency, he got the Affordable Care Act. Now, it still has challenges and it still remains hugely controversial in America, but it happened and millions more people are insured than they were before he was president. He did get this Iran deal. He normalized relations with Cuba. He did his executive action on immigration. Now, of course, that's in the courts, but he has.
And there's been huge social change that he's been at the center of.
Gay marriage.
But how much of that is him or the court?
I think he gets a lot of credit. In 2012, President Obama embraced gay marriage in the midst of a reelection campaign. And when he announced that and the world didn't end and it didn't destroy his political chances, I think it made it safe for a lot of other people.
He's clearly a very cautious person. He's a cautious candidate. But gay rights activists will tell you that because the president was able to talk so forcefully in the 2012 campaign, so much so on their side, because of the president's position and place and the bully pulpit, they welcome the fact that he may be late, but was forceful in their cause.
So looking at those accomplishments, the way that he's gotten those things done, should we expect that same caution in his last year? What's on his list for the coming year, and how should we expect him to go about accomplishing it?
I recently asked one of his top aides about this. I asked what was on his bucket list. And in short, the answer is, yeah, we know you're all going to call him a lame duck, but he doesn't intend on being lame. Which is exactly what they said last year.
But still
year.
A duck.
and in this interview, it was really striking to hear him try to channel that optimism and say that he's more optimistic now about a year ahead than he's been ever as
ever.
President.
Which is exactly what he said a year ago.
I don't know if that's exactly. But he did. So this end year press conference, you bring that up. He did bring up some specific things that he wants to go after, right? I mean, he talked about criminal justice reform, increasing wages, which is probably not something that gets done through Congress, right?
Right. That would be through state and local governments trying to get them to do their own local minimum wage initiatives, because at this point, Congress is not going to move on that, certainly not in an election year and not in a Republican-controlled Congress.
And gun reform, there's just not a whole lot an executive can do when it comes to gun reform without the help of Congress.
What the White House is doing is the Justice Department, as we speak, is putting together a list, or it may be a very short list, of things that they believe the president could do through executive action on gun control. The most likely avenue for that, though it's not 100% certain, would be a tightening of the so-called gun show and internet sales loophole. And they would do that through regulation rather than an executive order.
Maybe this is not for this conversation, but you know, when y'all talk about his last year, like list of things to do, what version of Obama should we expect to see in the campaign?
We can expect to see President Obama get increasingly involved in the campaign, especially once there's a Democratic nominee.
Okay.
His staff have told us that he plans to campaign and to highlight, as they see it, the differences, the choice between a Democrat and a Republican.
It's also part of what he sees as a legacy enforcer. And the president, in his interview with Steve Inskeep, said, essentially, if they run on what I did, then we'll win, right? But if they don't, the implication is that there could be potential problems. And we've seen this before with third-term candidates, essentially, following someone like Bill Clinton, Al Gore.
Well, because Gore ran away from
Clinton. He tried to separate himself from Bill Clinton, as opposed to George H.W. Bush, who was the last one or the only one to win since 1952 to follow two terms of one party, ran very much in, you know, in lockstep with what Ronald Reagan's accomplishments were. So there's going to be a little bit of that tension, especially when you look at polling and three-quarters of people say they want something different, a different approach than President Obama's. Hillary Clinton, if she does emerge as the nominee, will try to find some separation. And certainly Bernie Sanders is a whole lot different and will run, a very different kind of campaign.
I'll be interested to see how much Obama campaigning in 2016 is probably going to be entirely different than Obama campaigning in 08. Like, the rhetoric of hope and change will be replaced by rhetoric about his accomplishments or what? I don't know.
And he'll be 8 years older.
Well, yeah. It'll be his accomplishments. It'll be, you know, something about a Democratic vision for the future as compared to what the Republican vision for the future is, what Democratic policies have been put in place that are seeds for, you know, hope and optimism for the future as compared to what he sees as something different and extreme from the Republican side, which is also something you're going to see from Bill Clinton starting next month. You'll have two of the most recent former Democratic, presidents on the campaign trail. You know, there's going to be a lot of change starting next spring.
Okay, that's all the time we have. We'll see you once more before the new year for our weekly roundup. Until then, I'm Sam Sanders, campaign reporter.
I'm Tamara Keith, White House correspondent.
And I'm Domenico Montanaro, political editor.
You were very happy when you said that.
Well, I tried that's to good. Smile. I don't know I like what to it. Tell you.
Your smile came through.
We'll see you next time on the NPR Politics Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the show this year. We want to let you know that this holiday season, NPR podcasts have you covered, no matter what your mood. Political or science insights to share with your feisty aunt? Done. Surprising stories and interviews to discuss and debate? Yes. Year-end lists of the best movies, music, and books, that too, along with stories you can escape with for some holiday alone time. Discover some new favorite podcasts now at npr.org/podcasts or on the NPR One app. And enjoy the holidays.